My name is Ellie White. I am 16 years old. Today is November 22nd, 2018, and I am speaking with Donna Bertram, who is my grandma. We are both recording this interview in Flower Mound, Texas. Okay, first question. You ready? Huh? Who was the love of your life?
The love of my life was my husband, Gerald. I met him in Wisconsin when I was in school. I was a senior in college, and he was from Texas, and I was in Wisconsin. And he had a funny accent, and he took me out on a date. It was a blind date, and we went to the Butter Bun, a restaurant in Milwaukee, and then we went to a movie. And he was so cute because he had a cute Texas accent.
So how did y'all meet? It was a blind date?
It was a blind date.
Was it set up by one of your friends?
Yeah, the nurse across the hall from me. I owed her a favor because she babysat for me one time. And, you know, when I had committed to babysitting and then I couldn't do it. So I owed her a favor. And so the favor was for me to go out with her boyfriend's roommate, who happened to be Gerald. And they set us up on a blind date. And we went out.
That's cute. Uh-huh. Okay, when did you know that he was the one?
Well, we dated for about, I guess about 4 months or so. And he kept after me all the time. He wanted to go to the, I was on the softball team. He wanted to go to the softball games with me. He'd take me out to dinner. He'd take me to movies. He sent me flowers. Aww. He was very charming. And on the day after my birthday in August, he'd given me a birthday present. I can't remember now what it was, but the day after my birthday, he said, Donna, I forgot to give you a present. And I said, oh my goodness. And so he handed me a box, and it was a recipe box. A wooden recipe box.
Recipes for like food?
Yeah. And I opened it up and he said, he said, now look behind dessert. And so I looked behind the cards, you know, they got cards in dessert, and there was a diamond ring behind dessert.
Aww.
And he said, will you marry me?
Aww. That's so cute.
And I still have the recipe box.
Really?
Huh?
Is that where my mom gets some of her recipes?
Some,
from that box?
Maybe some, yeah. Some, yeah.
Okay. If you're comfortable talking about it, how did he die?
Well, we were living in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we had flew down here, mm-hmm, one morning to attend one of my friend's daughter's weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And we were staying with Denise, your mom and dad, at their house. And in the morning, Gerald would get up and he would usually make the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We were staying upstairs, and that morning he got up and he didn't make the coffee. And so I came downstairs and I said, Gerald, you didn't make the coffee. And he was sitting on the couch and, you know, he didn't say anything. And so I went and looked at him, and his face was sort of saggy, and he had to go to the bathroom. And so when he went to the bathroom, he couldn't walk very well. And I noticed that he was sort of limping on the way to the bathroom, and then I looked at him, and it looked to me like he couldn't move the right side of his body.
And you were a nurse at this time,
I'm
right?
I'm a nurse.
Okay.
And so I thought maybe he had a stroke. So I went in and woke up Denise and said I need to take Dad to the hospital. And I called Dina, and Dina said she'd be right over. And so we took Gerald to the hospital. He walked into the emergency room, and when we got to the emergency room, he just sort of lost it. I mean, he sort of went semi-conscious, and we went and had...
Did he just go out of it?
No, just he sort of like fell asleep, mm-hmm, a lot, deep sleep.
Yeah.
And we went for a CT scan. It's a special scan of the brain, and I thought it was a stroke. The ER doctor thought it was a stroke. Well, when the CT scan came back, it didn't look like a stroke. And I thought, oh my goodness, it could be an aneurysm. And that's another, mm-hmm, brain thing.
Yeah.
Well, so then they sent him for an MRI. That's a highfalutin test. And it came back that he had a brain tumor. And so it was bad news. I knew the neurosurgeon. I asked for the neurosurgeon that I knew that I had worked with before. Mm-hmm. And I knew he was very good. He was a jerk to the nurses, but he was good with his patients. Mm-hmm. And I wanted the best for Gerald. And so he came in and he took Gerald to surgery. And he did what's called debulk the tumor. He couldn't get rid of all the tumor, but he took some of it out, mm-hmm. which took some of the pressure off of Gerald's brain. And then Gerald went to the ICU, and he was in the ICU for a while. And then the doctor met with us and told Gerald that he had what's called a glioblastoma, level 4. It's the worst kind of brain tumor you can have. And that chemotherapy might extend his life by 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, but there were no guarantees. So Gerald looked at me and said, no treatment, no tubes, learn to die. It was so hard.
So did you go through with what he wanted, or
Well, of course, because that was his wish.
Yeah.
You know, he was an engineer, and engineers think through their problems, and when they think through problems, they look at different solutions, you know, if A, then this, if B, then this, if C, then this. And I think Gerald processed that he didn't want to put me and the girls, Dina and Denise, through the trauma of having chemotherapy or radiation or more surgery.
Did they say
when it wasn't going to make a difference?
Did they say that him getting like chemo or radiation or something like that would increase his living chances at all?
No.
Or was it all the same?
No. It might have given him one more month. And he decided that was not the way he wanted to live his life. Yeah. And so he just wanted to die quietly, you know, with dignity.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's what happened.
How do you think that he would want to be remembered?
Well, I think he would want to be remembered as a gentle spirit. Mm-hmm. He was mischievous. He liked to play tricks on me. Sometimes I'd be reading and he'd sneak up and grab my ankle. And I would say, oh, Jesus! And he said, no, I'm Gerald. And sometimes we'd be walking along, you know, in a park or something, and he'd jump behind a tree, and I wouldn't know it, and then he'd jump out and scare me. And I'd say, oh, Jesus! And he'd say, no, I'm Gerald. And one time when he was sick, we had a baby monitor on him because Dina had a baby monitor for Benjamin and Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. So we borrowed it so that I could hear Dad upstairs. And I heard something rustle. And the next thing I knew, I looked up the steps. And there was Gerald at the top of the steps. And I said, Jesus! And he said, no, I'm Gerald. But we had told him not to get out of bed without help.
And he did.
And he did, yeah. But he would want to be remembered as a good Christian man, a good father, a good husband, a hard worker, and a great engineer.
So he taught you a lot of lessons throughout your life. What do you think some of the most important ones that he taught you were?
Well, I think that he taught me patience. You know, not to jump in to make a decision too quickly, but to think through things, because he was a good thinker. Mm-hmm. He was a good problem solver. And so he could help me decide, rather than jumping in to make a quick decision, he could help me in my job think through a bunch of different kind of decisions. And so he's very helpful that way. And then also he was a good listener. He would listen, and then he would ask a great question that would make me think that I would have to, you know, think through. And so he helped me process some good experiences.
That's good. So, like, out of everything that y'all had, your relationship, everything, what do you think you're most grateful for?
Well, I'm most grateful for his being the father of our twin girls. He was a good father. He was a good husband. And so I was grateful for his ability to help all three of us, the girls and me, to have fun, because he liked to do fun things. We would have a cultural event You know, that sometimes he'd say, we're going bowling. Or sometimes he'd say, we're going to go to the concert. Or sometimes he'd say, we're on a picnic. Mm-hmm. And so he would do, you know, fun little things like that. Mm-hmm. And so he was a good father. He would always make the girls go to church on mm-hmm. Sunday morning. They had to sing in the choir. And at 10 till 8, he would say, I'm in the car. Church didn't start till 8:15, but at 10 till 8, he was saying, I'm in the car. And so, you know, the girls had to hustle up to get uh-huh. in the car because they knew that he was, church was very important to him. God uh-huh. was very important to Gerald, so he was a good Christian.
Mm-hmm. What do you miss most about him?
What do I miss most about him? I think I miss his mischievousness. Mm-hmm. I miss talking to him about some of the problems, yeah. you know, that I've had at work or at home. He traveled a lot. And so I was alone a lot with the girls because he traveled pretty much Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Friday or sometimes Monday through Thursday. So he was pretty much home only on weekends. Mm-hmm. And so but he would call me every night. You know, he mm-hmm. would call every night. And yeah. so we would talk on the phone. And, you know, I miss that. You know, I miss that sort of connection. Yeah. yeah.
Do you have any regrets, like something you didn't say or do?
Well, you know, when he died, I said to him, you know, Gerald, if there's anything that I've done or said that was upsetting to you, I ask for your forgiveness. And likewise, I forgive you for anything. I said, I want you to be free. To go to heaven and to be with Jesus, and that to know that I've loved you and that I will always love you, and that you're a special man, and that if you want to go, you need to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of y'all's happiest memories y'all had together?
Oh, some of our happiest memories. Well, certainly when the twins were born. Oh, yeah. That was an exciting experience. but he and I like to travel a lot. And so a lot of our fun memories were traveling with friends to different places in the world.
And you still do that today.
Oh, yeah, I still do that today. So he gave into me, mm-hmm. you know, the love of traveling all over the world.
Did you have it before you met him?
Not really. Well, we did camping a little mm-hmm. bit when I was a kid, but we never really traveled because we were sort of farmer people, you know. And so... he gave me the love to travel and see new things and meet new people and learn things about something else. Mm-hmm. So.
How do you think that your life is different now than before you lost him?
Okay. Well, for 17 years, I was a widow. And that meant I had to do everything by myself. If I wanted to buy a new car, which I did, I had to do that by myself. Where in the past, he and I would do those kind of things together. Mm-hmm. I had to sell the house that we lived in Colorado by myself. And then I had to buy a new house, you know, by myself. And then I had to move here to Texas because the girls wanted me to be closer to them and to you guys. Mm-hmm. And so I had to move here by myself. And so I had to learn how to do things that I had never done before by myself.
Do you think being by yourself so much taught you a lot?
Yes, I think it did. I think it taught me to be independent. It taught me to be thankful for the many years that we had and hopeful that maybe I'd find a new love.
Mm-hmm. And you did.
And I did. I was yeah. so lucky. God brought Paul and I together yeah. after 17 years. So it's pretty cool.
When he did die, did you ever think that you would find somebody again?
Well, you know, people told me, oh, Donna, you'll find somebody. You're so lovable. You know, you'll get remarried. Well, after 17 years, that didn't happen. So I thought, well, okay, God, if you don't want me to get remarried, fine. You know, I'm doing okay by myself. And so it's up to you. You have a plan, whatever it is. And, you know, I always believed, and there's a verse in the Bible, it's Jeremiah 29:11, that said, that God is speaking, I have a plan for you to prosper and grow and do you no harm. And so I lived by that promise that God had a plan for me. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he brought Paul and I together.
So... Did the death of your husband bring you opportunities that you never would expect to happen?
Well, I think that it brought me closer to some of my girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. And you travel with them now.
Yes, and I travel mm-hmm. with them. So I think it brought me the opportunities to foster female friendships closer. Mm-hmm. It fostered in me volunteering, you know, to be able to give back to people. So that's why I do a lot of volunteer work now. So I think those are some of the things that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what effect did his death have on you, like mentally and physically and emotionally?
Oh my goodness. Well, it was such a shock because he died in 5 weeks. So it wasn't very long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it was very fast. As a nurse, I knew what the outcome was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way, I was a little bit angry because I wanted him to fight. Mm-hmm. I wanted him to live with us longer.
Yeah.
But that wasn't his wish. And as a nurse, I had to support what he wanted. He wanted to die with dignity. No tubes. He wanted to be pain-free. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he didn't want to be in the hospital. So I had to promise him that. So that was exceedingly difficult for me. So mentally, I was, you know, tossed and turned between I'm mad, I'm glad, I'm sad.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of experiences.
Were you mad because it was unfair?
Yeah, it was sort of unfair that mm-hmm. why should this happen to him? God has everything. Why did he need Gerald, you know?
And he was such a good Christian his whole life. Why would he take him?
Exactly, yeah. You know. And so I was a little angry.
My mom felt like that too.
Yeah, yeah. And I was sad because I was losing the love of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I was glad that we were able to take care of him and keep him pain-free
mm-hmm.
and to honor his wish.
Mm-hmm. So did for the years to come after his death, mm-hmm. did it have a good impact or a bad impact or a little bit of both?
I think a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was hard for the girls, especially for your mother. She was very close mm-hmm. to Gerald. They would call each other and exchange recipes.
She says me and Emily are a lot like him.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I think it was hard on the girls. I think Dina probably had a better understanding because of Dina's background as a nurse.
Uh-huh.
And I think that bothered your mother, you know, to some extent. I think that the impact on me financially, because now I'm a widow and I only have my income. I didn't uh-huh. have his in mind.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I had to learn how to live financially and invest my money very carefully
mm-hmm.
so that I have enough money to last me for however long I'm going to live.
Yeah.
You know, and so there was a financial impact.
Yeah.
Physically, I did lose a little weight. Okay. Because, you know, you don't eat very well. And so then that catastrophic happens. And then spiritually, I had to sort of reconnect with God.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't angry at God. I didn't think God did this. It was uh-huh. one of those weird things that happened. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why do cancer cells go crazy?
So did his death give you a new perspective on life itself? Like on your life and just like everyone's life and just life in general?
Well, yes. You know, I knew that after he died, he was in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that is the ultimate home.
Mm-hmm.
That is the ultimate peace. That's the ultimate joy. So he was pain-free. He was happy, healthy, probably golfing with Jesus mm-hmm. in heaven. And so, you know, it's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still a hole in my heart that will always be there. It's somewhat darned, you know, mm-hmm. but the hole is still there.
Yeah.
You don't ever get over it.
Yeah.
Time helps, but you never get over it.
So did you start seeing your life in a different way, or did you just start looking at bigger pictures, or did you just...
Well, I think I had to see my life as an independent woman,
mm-hmm.
okay? I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going to fall apart.
Yeah.
I didn't want to fall apart and be a burden to your mother or her sister. I knew I had to shore up and do the very best I could in the jobs that I had,
mm-hmm.
and live independently and learn how to do the things I needed to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if he were here right now, what is something that you would say to him or ask him?
Well, if he was here right now, I would want him to meet you guys. Because you guys never met him. I would want him to learn who you are and who Emily is. I would want him to see how Parker, Ben, and Lizzie have grown up. Mm-hmm. I would want him to see how well Dina and Denise have parented you guys as kids. I would want him to say, Donna, I'm proud of you.
Do you think he's watching us right now?
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it.
Is that it?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
How did we do?
We did good.
We did? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your time.
What'd you learn?
I learned that he was the love of your life.
Oh.
And I learned to look at the bigger picture.
Okay.
And be more grateful for what I have. Mm-hmm. Because not everything lasts forever.
No, that's right. You know, life is short.
Yeah.
It is.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I love you.
I love you too. You're my favorite now.